good. Let's everyone stand for a second. Turn to Mark chapter 3, and we certainly appreciate the opportunity to enjoy chapel today with you, and thank you for your faithfulness and the spirit that you come to the service with. Very grateful for that. Mark chapter number 3, and real quick, I'd like to read a few verses with you, beginning with me, if you would please, at verse number 13 through verse number 15. Are you ready? Mark chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Ready? And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Once again, Mark 3, now verse 14. Everyone read it together with me. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. Verse number 15, everyone together. And to have power to heal sickness. Verses 16 through 19 tells us who those 12 men were. And then the last part of verse number 19, it says, and they went into an house. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy of being here. It's a humbling honor for me to stand here. And then also, of course, with so many other co-laborers who work and serve and yield their strengths and their talents to you here. I pray you please help us as we kick off a new year. I'm looking forward to sharing the time together. Looking forward to teaching on soul winning, discipling converts, and 21st century missions personally. And then, Lord, to hear systematic theology. What does the Bible say about biblical doctrines? How to communicate it in homiletics. And Lord, how to organize a work of God through church ed and the media classes, the music, the education for elementary. And those, Lord, who will be working on sewing and cooking and doing things that will be used of you around the world through families and ministries. I pray that God, you would please bless our time. Help it be a profitable time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know why he came to the earth. The Bible tells us he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. He came to give his life a ransom for many. Now, he could pay for everybody. He could pay for everybody's sin, but those who would accept his ransom, he came to ransom those of us who needed salvation, and that's everybody. But the second most important thing that Jesus did when he came to the earth was he found 12 men that would capture his heart, his purpose. If he had not discipled 12 people, we wouldn't be sitting here today at Hiles Anderson College. You and I would probably have not heard the gospel, because he had to get into the hearts of 12. In order for the gospel to go forth, he died on the cross, but these 12 men were apostles. They're sent ones. None of them stayed in Jerusalem long term. James, one of the first ones who died, he was one of the three inner core, and he was the first to be beheaded. The rest of them went to different parts of the earth. And John would be the last who was still alive on the island of Patmos, where he was tortured, the only one to not be martyred for the faith. But all of them would go to their death preaching the gospel and because of the gospel. You know, the truth of the matter is, we find in this passage of Scripture just a little bit of the heartbeat of God. It's not the only place in the Bible, but it tells us that he found them. He went out and found 12. They didn't seek him. He sought them. A couple of them followed along and said, you know, where do you sleep? Where do you dwell? And he said, come and see. But he went to Levi, who was working for the modern day Roman IRS, and said, follow me. He saw some guys who worked for their dad, Zebedee, on a fishing family business, and said, hey guys, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they would leave their nets and follow him. Each of them came from different locations, different backgrounds. Most of them were from the Galilean area, which is the country bumpkins up north in Galilee. And a couple of them, but only really one we know for sure, and that was Judas, was a Judean, an educated guy, and they gave him the purse. But he chose them, and he worked with them. And the Bible tells us in this passage of Scripture that he did exactly what we have as a goal of Hiles Anderson College here. And when I think about all that God did to get you and I in this room on this day, the 28th day of August, 2024, if I knew, and if you knew, all that God was doing, you'd be amazed. Something special is going on. And I'm amazed that I get to be here on this 53rd year. Of course, I came here when I was 18. It was there that I rolled into the campus here and started just like yesterday. and got my stuff in the dorm, and came to the next chapel the next day and did exactly what I'm doing here, but I was one of you at that time. 18 and away from home, the oldest one in my family. My other siblings would follow suit. Most of them, four of them would come here. Five of them would come to college here. Four of them would, and it's five of us all together. Because of the decision I made and because of what God did in my heart here. So many things that would be so different in my life had I not come here. But I think about now, 53 years after the church, the school started, the Lord is still sustained and allowed us to come, allowed you to be here. And the Lord Jesus says here in this passage that He called 12. He asked them to come and He asked them to be with Him. Why were they with Jesus? So they could be educated. So they could be inspired. So they can be influenced by Him. Later on, people would hear them and say, these guys are country bumpkins. They're not well educated, but they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Him. He called them so that they could be educated and influenced by His person. You know, the truth of the matter is, that's kind of why you're here. It's why I came, is so I could be educated. And I certainly had great pastors. I had great churches, a good youth group. But I felt like, and the Lord led me to this place so I could learn more about Christ, more about Him. The ministry here is not about a building. It's not about me. It's not about faculty. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. We want it to be about Him. Almost every service you come to, we're going to mention Christ. We're going to draw people's attention to Christ. The song we sang this morning, I Have Christ in My Heart. Oh, how I love Jesus. Not just words we sing. We want to be something we feel about them. A passion for Thee, not a passion for purpose, not a passion for ministry, not a passion for prestige or for a position, but a passion for the person of Jesus. He took knowledge of them, they would be with Jesus. The second thing, the Bible says that he would not only have them be with Him, He ordained they would be with Him, but He would send them forth to preach. He would equip them to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. I want many of you that God would let to marry, meet your spouse and meet here and go off into the ministry together. I want that to happen. I think one of the greatest things I took away from this place was Linda. I love her, and I'm so grateful that God let me enjoy these last 35 years with her. But the truth of the matter is, you and I are being equipped to get the gospel out. Some of you will teach in classrooms in just a few years. Some of you right now, you're seniors, and next year this time, you will be in a classroom someplace. Just like several of our friends, I've already seen them in different parts of the country as they're getting their classroom ready. I've gone in and see bulletin boards and seats and things that they just thought, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm nervous. I'm afraid. I've seen some people go on deputation. And just 2 years ago, they were in this room as a student. Now they're going deputation to go to a foreign field. I've seen people on the mission field and seen people who are guys I got a call this summer from a young man that graduated probably about 4 years ago, but now he's a pastor of a church. Wasn't expecting to do that, but he's now a pastor. And he said, Pastor, pray for me. Give me some help. And all of a sudden he's like, well, this is why God called you. This is why you came, to be equipped. But whatever you do one day in the world, whether you're turning knobs on a PA board, or you're holding a camera, or you're editing a video for your church family, or you're teaching a classroom, or you're coaching a team at a basketball game or a tournament like many of our graduates do, every one of us have one primary job, and that is to preach the gospel. Even girls can be preachers. Soul winning, getting the gospel out to other people. He said, that's why I educate to equip, and then that He would give them power. And of course, He gave them power to heal the sick, to do great exploits for the Lord. Our threefold purpose is to educate, to equip, and to empower God's people to serve the Lord. As I think about this particular first chapel, this particular semester, we're going to go through the book of James. And I'm going to talk to you about 12 elements that show us if we're mature, or show us if we're not mature, or help us to grow to be mature. One of the words I love about being a part of Christian College is maturation. I love to see the young people begin to grow and develop maturity. Most of us don't like it when someone says, "You're so immature." Or someone says, "Oh, why don't you grow up?" Like, hey, no, you don't like that. We're going to talk about growing spiritually. But I want to just talk to you about a couple elements that come to my mind today when we gather here in this room. The first one is the sovereignty of God. What I mean by that is that God is at work. It's not a mistake that you're here. And you don't want to doubt in the night what God showed you in the light. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let me just tell you something. God is alive and at work in your life today. And every one of you are very unique. You're very different. You have different gifts, different strengths, different backgrounds. Some folks, we came from pastor's homes. Some of you, your home is far from a pastor's home. It's not even close. Some of you, obviously, you're young ladies that have come. Some of you are young men. Some of you have come back for your senior year. Some of you are coming for your freshman year. But all of us need to know that God is at work in our life. All that God did to bring you here. You could be anywhere in the world this morning, but God put you in this place. Trust the Lord. Have faith in God and determine to keep working. And that's what you'll need in your marriage one day. I was counseling a married couple this morning. They want to ask me, is divorce bad? Is divorce a sin? And I said, I've got something better than divorce. Faith in God and keep working. Faith in God and keep working through your problems. Pray your way through your problems. Many folks are ready to take a quit. They want to quit. They want to quit. Boy, you start getting into a tradition of quitting, you're going to have some troubles because there's just another battle, another time. I want you to understand that God is at work in your life. When I think about a morning like the morning, I think of sovereignty of God, that God is at work. He knew where you would be today. He brought you here. Don't doubt in the night what God showed you in the light. Would you say that with me? Don't doubt in the night what God showed you in the light. He opened up the door for you to get here. Don't start questioning that. Let me just tell you something. Satan, wherever God puts a period, he likes to put a question mark. Every time God leads you to do something, Satan's going to put a question mark. You can't do that. Why are you here? No one cares about you. They don't come from the Lord. They come from hell. They come from satanic things. Even the Lord Jesus, at his baptism, his father said, "This is my beloved son." The next time Satan got a chance to say something to Jesus, he said, "If thou be the..." Yeah. Whenever God gave him, his father gave him affirmation and direction, the devil brings him a question mark. If you really are. Don't doubt in the... what God showed you in the... Don't doubt in the night what God showed you in the light. Trust God's sovereignty. Second thing I'd like to say to you is, I want you to think about this morning is another factor in play is sacrifice. There is some sacrifice in this room. I would say every one of you are here because of sacrifice. Some of you, you've sacrificed. You didn't get that car you wanted because you knew you had a school bill to pay. You had to get this done so you can get done. You worked some long hours and you stayed. And I have one young man in the room and he was on a roof 9 hours yesterday and the day before. And I'm sure while he was up there, you know, making whatever he was making, thinking, is it worth it? This is terrible. It's miserable. But the truth of the matter is that you've sacrificed to come here. But you're not the only one. Your teachers, your faculty members, they have an element of sacrifice. When you see a man that's been mowing lawn for 42 years, 107 acres over and over and over again, there's some sacrifice there. He could have his own lawn care business if he wanted to make a lot more money and have a lot less headache. When you see Dr. Callen, 48 years ago, moved here to this area, teaching at the University of Tennessee as a science professor, leaving that to come here. People thought he was crazy, thought he was a nut. What are you doing? You're leaving a very tenured opportunity at the UT, and of course he went to Georgia Tech and University of Oklahoma and got degrees and then came and teaching there. But there was some sacrifice involved. You'll see him every Saturday morning praying at a gravesite, just about five blocks away from here. You see him on Saturday. Can't hardly walk. But going to make bus calling visits. Visiting people, calling people, praying. His precious wife right alongside with him in the ministry of the work of the Lord. There's some sacrifice goes in. I think about what happened for us to be here today on this property. The college was started in 1972. 2 years after it started, we had so many students that we could not still meet over there at Hammond Baptist in any other place. And they found this place, but at the time the owners were not willing to let it go. And there's a Concord Palace out there. If you guys are going to ever go to O'Hare, there's this large building there. And it came about, from what Brother Ray tells me, just a few, 2 or 3 weeks away from being our college campus. And then the owners of this property said, we'll sell it. But you have to have X amount of dollars. And Brother Hiles went to the First Baptist Church of Hammond and said, we have to raise, I think, over $1 million. I don't know how far. $2.5 million total we had to raise to get this place. And people began to pull off wedding bands and put them in the offering plate. People went and took out their savings out of their checking account, their savings account, and put everything they had. They would sacrifice so that you and I could sit here on this campus, could be here. I think you back up a little bit more. Brother Hiles had been the pastor here for 13 years. Came in 1959. It was 1971, so 12 years at that time. And he knew that God had placed him in a unique place to influence people for the cause of Christ. They had a vibrant church, First Baptist Church. He didn't make any more money, didn't have less work to have a college, but he felt like God put that on his heart. He heard Lee Robertson say one time that the most difficult thing I've ever done and the most rewarding thing I've ever done was to start and maintain Tennessee Temple's University. That helped feed the need there. On Pomona, in Pomona, California, he was walking one night. He couldn't rest. And when he couldn't sleep, he would walk and walked along a little service road. I've been there many times. And just can imagine what it was like for him walking down there. I don't know if it was 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when God confirmed in his heart, Jack, you're supposed to start this college. I'm going to help you. He called his friend Russell Anderson, hence Hiles Anderson College, who was a businessman in Ypsilanti, Michigan. He was not a pastor, but he had a heart for the Lord. He was a soul winner, and he would attend preaching meetings wherever Brother Hiles and Brother Rice at the time were. He would go to these meetings and be there. He'd go there, fly there on Monday, Tuesday, fly back home, go to work on Wednesday, or drive if he could. And he knew that he was a successful businessman, and he said, Brother Anderson, would you meet me in Albuquerque, New Mexico? And I'll be preaching there. Would you meet me there? And he did. And he preached Monday night, preached Tuesday morning to the pastors. And Tuesday afternoon, he said, would you go with me over to the mall? I want to share with you something. And he walked around with this businessman and said, I got a burden to start a college. I think God wants me to. 2 weeks ago, I was walking in Pomona. God's given me a lot of burden and influence and time, but I don't have any money. And we need to buy a campus, not this campus, but the Hammond Baptist campus at the time. And we need money. $1.3 million, that's in 1971. That'd be a lot of money today. It was a lot of money then. Now, Brother Anderson, I always thought he's just a rich man. I said, well, you know what, I'll go ahead and just write you a check. I sat with him in his apartment in Michigan before he passed away, about 3-4 months before. He told me the story. He said, Brother Wilkerson, he said, I couldn't believe it. He said, I always had money. He said, but I had just built an apartment complex with 135 units. And I had put all my money into that apartment complex. I didn't even have all of the apartments filled out. I didn't have enough. I still had about 25 or 30 more of them to find people to live in. And now Brother Hiles is asking me to help him start a college. I didn't have any money. And yet I leaned up against the car on that parking lot there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I shook his hand and I said, Brother Hiles, I'll help you. And I got on the plane and came back to Michigan. I went down to see my banker. I said, Mr. Banker, I need some more money. I know we just loaned me some money for this and I put the down payment on, but I need some more money. He said, how much money do you need? He said, $1.3 million. He said, really? He said, yeah. He said, you don't, you, he goes, I have all this, this apartments, and there's 135 of them, 110 are rented. We've got about 25 left to do. He said, I'll put them up for collateral. What I did not know is that Dr. Anderson paid a mortgage on those apartments and paid a mortgage on this college for numbers of years so that we could come here. You know what you call that? Sacrifice. Went to work every day so he could have enough money to pay so that we could sit here in this room. You know, God has given us a lot of people. Your pastor sacrificed. Your mom, your dad, they love you. Think about opening day. I can't help but think about the sovereignty and the working of God. Can't help but think about sacrifice. I also can't help but think about surrender. I think probably every one of us, and you know, the surrender is what you did. Somewhere along the line, every one of you said, okay, I'll go. I'll serve the Lord. I remember when I surrendered, I was 13 years old downtown in the Jack Housemore Auditorium. When I knew at 13, I knew I was supposed to do whatever God wanted me to do, whatever it was. And I said, okay, I'll do it. Do you know when you did that? I hope you've surrendered yourself to the Lord. But some of you may have not done that yet. I think about a young man in this room who thought he was going to be an attorney. He wanted to please the Lord, be a good Christian attorney. But God now says, no, I want you to preach the gospel. There's a young man in this room who already has a degree in engineering. He's got a job that paid him plenty of money. Money was not an issue for him. Yet God put his finger in his heart and said, no, I got another plan for you. It's called missions. And he's enrolling as an upperclassman today to be here. You know, everybody has to surrender. Some of you, maybe you haven't, you've maybe not surrendered everything to God yet, but you surrendered enough to come here and to be here. Opening day represents God's working, his sovereignty, represents sacrifice, represents surrender. And then it represents servants. Servants that you'll have the chance, you'll be one of them and you'll join the camaraderie of servants in this ministry. You'll be able to see, and you can talk to your teachers on Monday. They can tell you about people they talk to about Jesus. They can tell you about what happened in their Sunday school class or on their bus route. You'll see Dan Nelson driving a bus. You'll see Aaron Eggers driving a bus. You'll see me driving a bus from time to time. You'll see Andy Gomez driving a bus. You'll see us going soul winning. You'll hear our stories. You could follow us around. You'll find us discipling people at a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donut at their house or our house. You'll have people all through this room that you'll get to have them teach and take your money like Miss Terry does. But you'll know that Miss Terry loves the Lord and she's faithfully serving Christ. She's in it to win it. Servants of Christ, that's what I think about. The last thing I'll share with you is I think about the reason we have an opening day is because there are somewhere people who don't know how to get to heaven from here. Souls. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I have a friend, Anishas, right here. He's in Bible college. But he looked me in the eye this week, and I had the joy to lead Anish to Christ as a Hindu and coming to Jesus. And by the way, you know how you lead Hindus to Christ? You show them the gospel. You know how you lead Jewish people to Christ? You show them the gospel. Now, you lead Muslims to Christ, atheists to Christ, you just show them the gospel. It does the work. But Denise looked in my eyes and said, Pastor, if you never went to Hiles Anderson, if you didn't obey God, if you didn't pastor First Baptist Church of Long Beach, if you didn't come to Ham, Indiana, I don't know how God would have got the gospel to me. The truth of the matter is, there are people in your future, they're going to tell you the same thing. I wonder how many people will go to hell because the person who was supposed to be in their town, their country, their classroom, didn't show up. Didn't realize it's bigger than a paycheck, it's bigger than prestige, it's bigger than ease. It's souls. On opening day, 2024-25, we are so honored you're here. We love you, and I can't wait to get to know all of you and enjoy this semester with you. But could you think about these five thoughts? the sovereignty of God, what He's already done and He's working right now. Would you think about the sacrifice that's been made by you and many others before you came along? Would you think about the surrender that still needs to happen? Still need to keep putting yourself on as a living sacrifice to the Lord. Would you think about the servants that are depending upon you and will work alongside with you, helping you to be equipped, to be empowered, to be educated? And then I want to encourage you to think about souls. Now, some of us, I don't know where you're going to be in 15 or 20 years, but I know where you can be on Saturday. You can be standing in front of someone and talking to them about Jesus. Encourage them to get on a bus. Encourage them to ride with you. You can encourage them to let you explain the gospel of Christ to them. Don't be looking so far in the future you forget the people that are around you right now. Thank you for being with us. Let me give you four thoughts of advice real quickly. Based upon all the things that God's done already to get us here, let me just give you these four things. Number one, walk with God. You walk with God. My walk with God won't help you. I can't walk with God for you. You can't walk with God for me. I got to do that for myself. Number two, expect opposition and challenges. You're not going to finish, and you're not going to finish this first week or the first month or the first semester or graduate on spare time and pocket change. It's going to be a challenge. You got to put on your big boy britches. Not the girls, but just the guys. You're going to have to decide, you know what? I'm going to have some problems, and when I come there, I'm going to pray my way through problems. I'm going to persevere my way through problems. I'm going to praise my way through my problems. We have two precious girls that are here that came to opening day. Their grandmother died the day before. And it's grievous. I'm so sorry for them. We're loving them. We're praying for them. But the truth of the matter is, there's going to be problems in your future. There's going to be things you'll hear. There's going to be things that will happen. There's going to be a challenge you'll have. Expect some problems. Say also, choose good friends. I wish I could tell you that if I were a student here, I would be friends with everyone, but I would only be close associates with a few. And in a great college like this, if you're not careful, you'll get the birds of a feather flock together. Be careful. And you can usually tell what someone's life is by their talk. You can tell a fool by his conversation. And love everybody, be gracious to everybody, but make sure you pick friends that will benefit your spiritual walk. Will love you, will love the Lord, and you'll tell that pretty quickly. Doesn't mean you're unkind to someone, but you better make that decision. Because he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. A companion of fools, you don't break God's law, we break ourselves against them. Then I would encourage you lastly, if you would please, just get all in. Do what God wants you to do, and you're going to find it'll be a blessing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the privilege of being here in chapel today. I'm humbled that you let me come. Help us, I pray, to have the blessings of God upon this year. We commit it to you, and we pray that God, every aspect of it would bring glory to you. We ask this in Jesus' name.